All right, we are in Genesis chapter 48. We're going to go over the questions for 47 very quickly. I appreciate Jonathan teaching chapter 47 last week while I was in Nashville. And we'll pick up here with 48 as we go through. Chapter 47's questions. What did Joseph's brothers tell Pharaoh their occupation was?
Shepherds.
What did they ask Pharaoh for, and what was his response? Place to dwell. What was his response? Alright, take your pick of the best of the land. And what else? Alright, so he specifically states if there were those worthy as shepherds, that they were to be placed over his flocks. And so that's verse 6. They were to be made chief herdsmen over his livestock. How old was Jacob when he came before Pharaoh? 130. We'll get into just summarizing some of that later on. How did Jacob and his family get food after they came to Egypt?
Joseph supplied their needs.
All right. Joseph supplied their needs. Now, what's the contrast between that and the people of the land? Alright. Joseph provided theirs, and the rest of the people in Egypt had to buy from Joseph and from the supplies of Egypt. Alright. Let's see. How did the Egyptians initially pay for their food?
Money.
Yeah, that seems a pretty reasonable way to do it. Alright. When they ran out of money, what did they use to pay for food?
Livestock.
Alright, their cattle and their livestock. Alright, when they ran out of their cattle and their livestock, what did they use to pay for food?
Their land.
Their land. Alright. Now, with that, did Joseph just take the land? They offered it, but was it just the land in exchange for food purely?
The life. No, they were able to work the land.
Okay.
And then they were to give up.
All right, so they were provided grain, and they were to give 20% of everything to Pharaoh. But I believe the text indicates that Joseph actually bought the land from them. Now, whether it is the case that he bought it with money or bought it with the food that he then provided them from the remainder of that, for that point forward, I'm not sure. But it does seem as though he actually bought the land from them.
It sounded like they thought they had gotten a favor, though, because they were going to die.
Yes, I mean it was still a pretty good deal. Your land's no good to you if you're dead, as they would have been without any qualms or disagreements there. There would have been nothing left of them to worry about their land. All right, so that's chapter 47. We get into chapter 48. Something that I wanted to do, and I thought for sure I saved it and put it on this computer, and I can't find it. So I may have done it, and I just can't find it. I want to notice, we kind of mentioned it as we went along, but I want to pull together some things concerning Jacob and his age as in connection with Joseph, so that we kind of get the structure of this time-wise and the things that have happened. Let me just use this, and we'll go from here. How old was Isaac when Jacob and Esau were born?
1460.
Yes. How old was Abraham when Jacob and Esau were born?
160.
All right. Okay? 160. I didn't write Abraham out. I just put Abram. Okay. So, Jacob at birth, Isaac was 60, Abraham was 160. Okay? When Abraham died, how old was Jacob? Abraham died at 175. How old was Jacob? 15. All right. Isaac would have been 75 when Abraham died. Esau, of course, would have been 15 as well. All right. Just make sure everybody's with me. Okay.
Trick question.
How old was Jacob when Esau first got married the first time?
Was he close to 30?
40. We know that because Esau was 40 when he got married. All right? So, we'll do Esau married. Jacob would have been the same age. How old would Isaac have been? 100. All right? How old did we say Jacob was when he left home for Padan Aram?
When he left to go back from...
No, when he left home after stealing or tricking Isaac out of the blessing and the birthright, and he left for Padan Aram. How old was he?
77.
How old would Isaac have been?
137.
Okay. At this point, is he married?
No.
No. Does he have children?
No.
No. Okay. He arrives in Padan Aram. How many years does he work to marry Rachel?
7.
All right. So how old would he be?
24. How does he work?
I know. Okay. But, what year did he get married?
7th year.
Alright, so he's 84 when he gets married. How old would Isaac be?
144.
Okay. How old will he be when he leaves to go back home? No.
Isn't it just another 13 years?
Oh, I'm sorry.
20 years.
You're right. I was doing 20 off of this number. Yes. He will go home or return to Canaan at least at age 97. Now, how many of the children had been born when he left to go home? How many of the sons? Put it that way.
11.
Which one hadn't been born?
Benjamin.
Alright. So, at some point between here and here, those 13 years, 11 of the sons had been born. By the indications of the text, Joseph was 6 years old when they went home. Okay? Now, if Joseph is 6 years old when they go home, that over here. How old would Isaac be when they went when he went home? Turn to Canaan.
157.
Okay. They go back, and in chapter 37, how old is Joseph?
17.
All right. When the dreams occur, and by all indication, Joseph is sold into slavery, though this text doesn't specifically state it was the same year. The indication is, though, that it was. Joseph would have been 17. How old was Isaac?
168.
11 years on to the previous.
Yes.
Okay. 168. How old would Jacob have been?
108.
Okay. Do we know how old Jacob was when Benjamin was born?
I don't.
Neither do I. All right. What we do know is that he was born before Jacob moved back to Bethlehem Ephrathah. Okay? Because Rachel died giving birth to him on the way to Bethlehem Ephrathah. That's what the text specifically states. Now we know that he came home at age 97, and that during the time that they were in Canaan, we know he spent approximately 20 years in the upper regions of the land of Canaan. Open your Bibles to your maps real quick if you've got one. One that just shows Canaan in the Old Testament period. Even if it's the time of the divided kingdom or whatever, 12 tribes, any of those should be fine. He comes back to Canaan. And you remember he meets up with Esau, and Esau then returns home. Jacob stays in the northern regions, and he goes first to Succoth. Stays there for a while. Then he goes to Shechem, and he stays there for a while. What happens when they're in Shechem, or in the vicinity of Shechem? Events with Dinah, Jacob's daughter, occur when they're in Shechem. Now, something interesting is notice if you have a Bible that shows Shechem and it's about, I'll just hold mine up here. It's right here. It's about halfway between the Sea of Galilee and the Salt Sea, just about right in the middle. Okay? If you look there and then you start looking down, how far is it from there to Bethlehem? All right. About that far. Okay. Miles 20. We're talking between 30 to 50 miles. Okay? Now, when Joseph in chapter 37 is sent out to go check on his brethren who are out tending the flocks, where does he first go? Shechem. He goes to Shechem because that's where they were supposed to be. He gets to Shechem and they're not there. Where had they taken the flock? Dothan. All right, you can look at your map again. And you'll notice that Dothan is even farther north than Shechem is. It's probably another good 10, 15 miles north of Shechem. Which, granted, in our day and time, 15 miles is not bad to travel. When you're shepherding sheep, sheep take a long time to get 15 miles. All right, they have been out for a while. But here's another point. As they're shepherding the flocks that belong to Jacob, and eventually they got to go back to Jacob. I mean, eventually the flocks go back. How long would it take if they're already in Bethlehem? Say, for instance, they were already in Bethlehem, and Rachel had already died, Benjamin had already been born. Okay? Assuming that. How many miles are they from Bethlehem with the flocks if Benjamin had already been born when Joseph is sold into slavery? We said it's probably 30 to 50 miles from Shechem to Bethlehem. And you're probably 15 or 20 miles farther north to go to Dothan. They would have been a very long way from home to have taken the herds and the flocks that far. Okay? If, instead, though, Jacob is still living in the region of Shechem, it first and foremost would have made sense that the flocks were in Shechem with the other sons to begin with. The indication isn't that Jacob lived in the city. He would have dwelt out in the outer regions, outlying areas. So it would have been reasonable for the flocks to be sent to Shechem. As a matter of fact, you remember that when the events with Dinah took place, the sons were out with the flocks that time as well. Okay? So this, it would have been reasonable if Jacob's in the region of Shechem still, when Joseph sold into slavery, it would have been reasonable for the sons to have the flocks at Shechem, and it would have been still somewhat reasonable for them to take them to Dothan. Okay? That's not that far from Shechem. It's a really long way from Bethlehem for those sheep, especially considering that's a fairly mountainous region of Canaan. Something to think about. Alright. How old is Joseph? Back to the age here. How old is Joseph when he comes before Pharaoh and is made second in the kingdom? 30 years old. Okay? I'll get back to it. You got me so I can't even write now.
I take full responsibility. Now you know what we were all thinking.
I'm not rambling entirely. All right. So, how old is Jacob when Joseph's second in Egypt?
How old is
Jacob when Joseph is made second in Egypt?
Around 130.
Around 130,
131.
13?
13
years.
121. Yeah. 21. How's he older than he is when he keeps
Pharaoh? Alright. You got me on that one. Okay. How old would Isaac have been?
Old. 13 more. 181.
How old was Isaac when he died?
Very old.
Okay. So.
So how could you have the same one?
I'm just letting you do the math. He's dead. But I want to make this point. He's still alive when Joseph sold into slavery. He's alive 12 years, 11 years at least, after Joseph sold into slavery. Okay? Now,
what are you talking about?
Isaac. Isaac is still alive when Joseph is sold into slavery. When Jacob comes before Pharaoh, how old did we say he was? How old would Joseph be?
39.
All right. At what age will Jacob die?
He was at 13 years old.
What? 147. He'll live in Egypt 17 years. That's the end of chapter 49, I think, isn't it? Alright, how old will Joseph be when Jacob dies? Timeline here of the basic events that transpired from, we're all the way back in the chapters, the 20s, coming all the way forward to the end of the book. Okay? Now, in chapter 47, notice what's stated. One reason why I wanted to bring this out. Abraham was 175 when he died. Isaac was 180 when he died. Jacob says to Pharaoh, when he comes before him, verse 9, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. Alright, so his statement is basically, I haven't lived, and basically it seems to be, I'm not going to live to the ages of my ancestors, my forefathers. Okay? That was kind of reason number one for bringing this out, is Jacob's statement in chapter 47. Now chapter 48.
47:28
tells you how old Jacob was, or how long he lived in the land, and how old he was when he died. What verse? 47:28. All right, he lived in the land 17 years. Length was 147. All right. So I was thinking of 49. Okay. Chapter 48. Now it came to pass after these things that Joseph was told, indeed, your father is sick, and he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Jacob was told, look, your son Joseph is coming to you, and Israel strengthened himself and sat up on the bed. And we're not told specifically the exact age that this transpires, but you can probably assume that it's pretty close to his death. That this is nearing the time when Jacob will die, because Jacob's going to call his sons together, chapter 49, and he dies at the end of chapter 49. So we're nearing the end. Moses is wrapping things up. But Joseph is told that his father's sick. He goes to his father and he brings with him who? Ephraim and Manasseh. If this is the last year that Jacob is alive, how old are Ephraim and Manasseh approximately?
close to 20 or in their early 20s?
All right. They're in their 20s, some point in there, because they were born during the years of plenty while Joseph was in Egypt. Okay? So during those 7 years, Ephraim and Manasseh are both born. Manasseh is the oldest. Ephraim is the youngest. They come before Jacob at this point, and he's sick. Verse 3, then Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said to me, behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you. And I will make of you a multitude of people and give this land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession. And now your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. So, first thing he talks about is what? All right. The promise of not only seed, but nation and land. The possession. Basically, the covenant God had made with Abraham, and then Isaac, and then Jacob. Jacob is emphasizing that with his death, the covenant's not over. It's not going to end with him. He was just another link in the chain of the line and the lineage that was going to bring about the fulfillment of this covenant between God and themselves. So, they come, he states that God's going to give them this last everlasting possession. He says, your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came, they're going to be mine. Alright? I was looking for the question that I wrote. Alright. Explain the changes in the, quote, lineage that Jacob makes by saying Manasseh and Ephraim are going to be mine. What's he done?
He's taken Joseph out of it and put in his two sons. Put in Joseph's two sons.
Okay.
The other, the 12 tribes, because Levi's going to be taken out later.
Okay. So you're going to end up with 12 tribes after Levi's taken out and Joseph is removed. What else? Okay. He's going to give Joseph the blessing and the birthright of the oldest son. Notice, he's not actually the oldest, but he's going to receive that birthright because he's the oldest of Rachel. Okay? That's how he's going to end up with it, is Jacob is going to give it to him in that position. But notice also that in having Ephraim and Manasseh, he's going to give a double portion to Joseph's lineage. It won't be given to Joseph directly, but to Joseph's lineage. Part of it going to Ephraim, part of it going to Manasseh. But in the changes in the lineage, they will be counted as
sons,
not grandsons. And specifically, not grandsons born in a foreign land to a mother who's an Egyptian. Okay? He removes here all possibility that Ephraim and Manasseh and the children of Joseph are going to be shunned and shoved out of Israel because of their
mother's side.
And their origination, because they didn't grow up with Israel. They didn't grow up in the family. They're almost 20 years old and they live in Egypt. But they're going to be the children of Jacob, not the children of Joseph, by way of inheritance.
Just a thought, don't you think that kind of also speaks to Joseph as a father? Because I highly doubt that Jacob would have passed that blessing on if the sons were those of Egyptian religion and not believing in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that shows Joseph as a father, that even though he was still in another land, he still taught them the God of the Bible.
And that their mother is the daughter of one of the priests of one of the idolatrous gods in Egypt.
Doesn't Jacob also then surprise Joseph in the fact that he chooses Ephraim over Manasseh.
Yes. Yes.
So, I mean, it's a lot of things are going on here that are not wrong.
Okay. All right. Now, in what Jacob has done, just thinking of it from the standpoint of inheritance and he's claiming them as his children, what would be our term for what he's done here? We have a term for when someone who's not your actual parents claims you as their child. Adoption. He has adopted them. We're going to say some more about that in a minute, if we have time. Verse 6, your offspring whom you beget after them shall be yours. Talking to Joseph. They will be called by the name of their brothers in their inheritance. So Joseph's other children will still be counted as part of Israel, but they will be of the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh. It doesn't matter how big they are or the fact that they're not part of Ephraim and Manasseh biologically. As far as the tribe goes, as far as the inheritance, the possession in Canaan, they're going to inherit among the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh. Why, in your opinion, does Jacob say what he does in verse 7, which is, "But as for me, when I came from Paddan, Rachel died beside me in the land of Canaan on the way where there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath," which is speaking of Bethlehem, "and I buried her there on the way to Ephrath," that is, Bethlehem. Why does he say that? In your opinion, I'm not asking for a book, chapter, and verse. Just, why does he bring that up?
Maybe the fact that he wasn't at his home when one of his sons was born, because that would have been where Benjamin would have been born. And he's talking about Jacob's or Joseph's children were born in Egypt.
Could be. Any other thoughts?
Wanting to get her bones and bring them?
Not any indication of that, because Jacob is going to be buried with with Leah. Specifically states that he will be buried where Leah has been buried, which means, by the way, that Leah's died already by the time they come to Egypt. You remember back here when we pointed out the distances between Bethlehem and Shechem and Dothan.
Yes, we confused us all.
When I confused everybody and you didn't know why I was talking about it? It's my personal judgment. I can't steadfastly prove this by Scripture, but I mentioned it before. It's my personal judgment that Benjamin had not been born when Joseph was sold into slavery. Okay? You go back into the discussions that they had with Joseph when the brothers came down to buy grain. And you remember what is stated by Judah when he's trying to get Jacob to let Benjamin go to Egypt the second time? And he said, and Jacob says, "Why did you tell him that you had another brother?" And he says, he specifically asked if we had another brother. It's my personal belief that Benjamin had not been born, but that Rachel was pregnant with him. That he knew there was the possibility of another brother, but that his 10 brothers had showed up to Egypt and there was no brother with them.
So he inquired.
It doesn't record it in the actual conversation, but Judah later states when he's talking to Jacob that he specifically asked us concerning another brother and our father. Okay, so the statement by Judah saying this, he knew more than he should have known, but he asked, we answered. We didn't know it would have led to anything.
But there's always a possibility that maybe he was just asking for the sake of, maybe I have a brother.
That's possibly true as well. But I just think it's interesting that here, as Jacob is discussing all of these things, in the midst of it, he inserts what happened to Rachel. What happened to Joseph's mother? where she was, where she was buried, and all of the things that are involved with that point in time. As if Joseph wasn't there.
Well, they reveal it themselves in 42:13. You know, he's questioning, saying, "Are you spies?" And he says, and they say, and they said, "Thy servants are 12 brethren."
Mm-hmm.
Which he probably knew there was 11.
Mm-hmm. So you think he's filling in the blanks for Joseph? Is that what you think
he's doing? Mm-hmm. I think he's filling in the blanks for Joseph. I think he's drawing the connections and bringing it all together, because otherwise it doesn't make any sense. Joseph would have already known where his mother died. I mean, it's not something you randomly forget what happened to your mother when your baby brother was born. Okay? So it doesn't really make sense for him to say it unless, adding all of this stuff up, Benjamin, who's still considered to be a lad, therefore not being sent down to Egypt, is this young when it occurs. So, we'll pick up, since we're out of time, we'll pick up, finish up chapter 48 and chapter 49 next week. You can go through the rest of the questions this week. What?
So why did you mention Bethlehem? To make that point that...
That it doesn't make sense for the brothers when, in chapter 37, when Joseph is sold into slavery, it does not make sense for them to be all the way up in Dothan if they're already living in Bethlehem, and they didn't live in Bethlehem until after Rachel died.
So that adds to the timeline of...
Yeah, exactly.